And it is so important. Hallelujah. This truly is one of the most remarkable churches I've ever been in. It's not the biggest one, but it's the most remarkable one. And it's special because it's got special people in it. The people make up the church. And I'm really grateful for the Lord to put us here. I love the worship in this church. I love the heart of worship in this church. I'm loving the relationships that are growing between you and between me and you. And I love God's presence. I love the truth that we're proclaiming, and we speak truth over this place. We speak truth over our lives. And that is so massively encouraging to me. It's almost like we shouldn't keep this to ourselves. We should share it. And that's probably what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But I wanted to start with a scripture which I found really fascinating, and it's been with me for a while now. And it's from Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. The story, just before we get to this part, is that Jesus is walking from Bethany into Jerusalem, and he was feeling hungry. And he saw a fig tree, and he thought he'd go over and see if there were some figs he could pick. But when he got there, there were no fig trees. So he said to the fig tree, figs to eat. And he walked over to the tree, and he saw there were no figs, and he said to the fig tree, may you never bear fruit again. And in that moment, the tree withered and died. And it was obviously a startling moment for the apostles who were with him to suddenly see this fig tree dying right before their eyes, and just because he said that. And Jesus made a response to them. He said, truly, I tell you that you have faith and do not doubt. Not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Just say with me, if I believe, I will receive. If I believe, I will receive whatever I ask for in prayer. It's just such a promise from Jesus. It's not if you feel good, if you feel God's love, if you feel God's presence. He says, if you believe, you'll receive. It's just that simple. It's a transaction. You give him your belief, he gives you his promise. You have to do nothing more than to believe. Jesus said the work of the kingdom is this, to believe. Only believe. That is our main job that we've got to do. We have to believe who he is, believe who he said he was, that he's the Son of God. Believe that he did what he said he came to do. That's the main job of following Jesus, is to believe him. The rest comes out of that. Everything comes out of what you believe. It doesn't just turn up. Because you feel God's presence, you might get healed. Or you glimpse something glorious, you may feel God's love or kindness. You believe because you chose to believe what he says. You decide, he's God, I believe you, and that's it. And so I just wanted to leave that as the startup to set the scene here for what we're going to talk about. Jesus said two things which could almost seem contradictory, and I just want to look at them both. The first one is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And Jesus said, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it, or as the NIV says, overcome it. So he says, I will build my church. And then he says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he says, I will build my church. And then he says, you go. So could that be contradictory? Could he be saying two things? I will build and you go. And so what we have to see is, what is he actually saying? In Acts chapter 1, when the Spirit was about to come on the apostles and the disciples, he said, you will have power when my Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So there's another clue. So he was going to empower us to do the thing, the work of the kingdom, on his behalf. So what I see is by the empowering or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we partner with Jesus in doing the work. It's not something wrong that we do anything to go and reach the lost or proclaim the kingdom in any way. It's not in conflict with what he said. He said he'll build his church, but he didn't say that he wouldn't be building it through us and with us. So he puts his Spirit in us so we can build the church and we can get this work done. And so there's this wonderful position that we find ourselves in as being part of his team. And that's an incredible team to be part of. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and so we can do this. I want to go take you with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And Paul is teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this is the same gift that we spoke about a few moments ago when Jesus said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. Isn't it absolutely brilliant? It's not so that you will be super spiritual or that people will look at you and say, you are utterly amazing, or that people will think that this is only for a select few. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each one of us so that we can help each other. So in this room, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower, you have a spiritual gift. You might not see it manifesting. You might not even know what it is. Some of us go through years with never discovering that we have a spiritual gift. And if we do, what is this gift? And how are we meant to use it? And then this spiritual gift is given for a very special reason. It's so that we can help each other. It's given for the common good. It's given for the good of all of us that we have spiritual gifts. It says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. So there are people with great gifts of wisdom or words of knowledge. There are people with words of knowledge, which is a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit. And so when somebody in the room says, I believe God is speaking through me at the moment, and I have something to say, it means that that gift is operating in your heart, in your life, and you have something to contribute. And this is given by the Spirit for you to contribute, because that is not contributing so that we will say you're good or you're not so good at what you're doing, but rather you want to build us up. And so you give us, you employ the gift that he gave you for the good of everybody in the room. So you release that word of knowledge. I would like to say to you, if anybody believes during the worship that the Spirit is giving you a gift and giving you a word of knowledge or whatever it might be, come up and tell me. Come and say, God's given me something I really believe is going to build this body up, and I want to release it to this church. And we'll make space. If it's the Holy Ghost, we will make space. And that's why you can come see me and be like a safety net, and I'll help you discern that. He says the same Spirit gives great faith. And you know, I remember, I think I mentioned it once before. I was in Florida many years ago, and I met this little lady with little blue, purpley hair, little tiny little lady, oldly lady. And she came from Oklahoma, and I said, oh, that's the place they have all these tornadoes. And she said, oh, yeah, we have them. I said, have you ever seen them? She said, oh, yes, I see them often. I said, what happens when they come? She says, well, you've got to know, you've got to know what color the sky's going to be to know that one's coming. And when they come, she says, if I see it approaching my house, I open my front door and I go and stand outside. And I really, I'm telling you, she wasn't more than 5 foot. And she says, I command it in the name of Jesus to rise up and get over my house. And she says, it never touches my house. And you know, it's just what she believes. It's nothing else. It's not that she felt that she could say it, or maybe somebody was, you know, giving her some encouragement. It was simply the power that the Spirit gives her to have great faith to believe. Now, we're all given a measure of faith, but some people are given supernatural faith to believe for great things. And that's a gift that is in this room in one of your lives, and it needs to be seen. There are other gifts. There is the gift of healing that comes by the same Spirit. So some people have the ability, because probably there's great faith in their lives, to lay hands on the sick and they see them recover. I'll never forget the first time I saw somebody healed. I couldn't believe it, that actually happened. It was a woman with multiple sclerosis. And I kept thinking, what did I do? What did I say? What were the musicians singing? Could I somehow work it out that if I could repeat that, then we could do it again? It never worked again. For that particular healing. But this woman was totally healed. And you keep thinking, what is the formula? No, there's no formula. It's a gift from the Spirit in that moment that releases the gift of healing into somebody's life. He gives to another person the power to perform miracles. William Brannan, some of you would know who he was. He went to Cape Town in South Africa to do a crusade. And he was standing in this place, and it was an open-air conference, people standing on a huge field. And the heat was building and building and building. And the police came to them, and they said, their people are fainting from the heat. There's no shade for the people here. If this continues, we're going to have to shut your meeting down. So we asked the Lord to send a breeze. And in that moment, a breeze began to blow across the meeting and cool the people. And there are people with that supernatural ability to work miracles. There's a need here. People like Mariah Woodworth Etter and Catherine Kuhlman. These people had this ability to work miracles. There was this gift that operated through their lives. It's here. That gift is here somewhere in this room. Somebody's sitting on a gift that enables them to work miracles. And all that has to happen is somebody has to release that gift, so that you can begin to see something happen. He gives you the ability to prophesy. And that's what I was talking about. If you get a word from God, come and tell me. Because there are prophets sitting in this room right now. There are people here that have got prophetic gifts, but because you don't believe you can prophesy, you don't believe you have that gift, or you're too afraid to try, that prophetic gift remains dormant. But you know, it's when you do what Peter did, when you get out of the boat onto the water, that's when you walk on the water. If you don't do that, you don't ever see and you don't ever have. But there are prophetic utterances, and start small in your prayer meeting. Begin to speak out. Begin to speak. And sometimes you'll only know the first two words. Speak the first two words and see the rest come out, because God has put that in you. There's gifts to speak in unknown languages. There's a gift to discern whether something is of the Holy Spirit or from the other side. There's a gift that enables you to interpret what other people are saying in tongues. These all are the gift, and he says it right in the end. He says, it is the one and same and the only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So he's decided. He's walked around this room. He's looked at everybody that's here, including the ones that are at Joshua Mills meeting tonight, and said, these are the gifts that you should have. And I'm so glad you came here. And he says, this is the gift that you need for accomplishing what it is that you want to see happen. And praise God for that. Jesus builds his church through us, and he gifts us to do that. So it's not as if we've got to say, well, we don't have any really gifted people here, so we're probably not going to build much. Actually, that's not true. This place is full of gifted people. All is waiting for us to do is activate your gift so that you can start doing the reason they've given the gift, which is to minister to all the people in the room. Hallelujah. Jesus established a church which was so different from the religious order of the time that he lived on the earth. It was so different. You know, at that time, the priests kept themselves separate from the normal, ordinary people. Certainly kept themselves separate from sinners like people who drank and tax collectors and prostitutes. He does the complete opposite and goes and spends time with these people. Jesus allows his people to come right close to him. The religious leaders kept the people at a distance and had this office of the prophet, of the priest, which didn't allow people to come close to you. They observed all the rules strictly and never interpreted them in the light of the Holy Spirit. Jesus teaches us that you've got to listen to the Spirit, who will tell you what the Father is saying, and do whatever the Father tells you, even if it means eating some wheat grains on a Sabbath day. And he explains the scripture. You see, you can either take the scripture as a bunch of words in a rule book, or you can look at them in the light of the Holy Spirit's interpretation and understand what the Spirit is teaching. What is the spirit of the word that you're understanding so that you can know how to interpret it? So Jesus sets this, and the early church starts, and it starts with exactly that. It starts with leaders that are accessible to their people. It starts with leaders that go into all kinds of places where there are people in need and are not put off and don't keep their distance from these people. This is what the church was about. This is what the church had come to be. They established the church as it was meant to be. It was never meant to be a place where people behaved in a particular religious way and only one priest stood and spoke and everybody sat and listened to them, and the priest wore garments and he was untouchable and unapproachable. It was never meant to be that. It was never the plan that Jesus had. And we've somehow grasped back on some old Judeo-Christian customs and said, we want to do that again because that's the church. It's not. It's really not the church. And I just believe that we've got to kind of shake ourselves free if we really want to become relevant to what Jesus wants us to be at this stage. What's so exciting about this church is that you begin to love each other, you begin to care about each other, you begin to speak to each other. And you might say, whoa, how amazing, what are you saying? People in the church speaking to each other. You won't believe it, but you've got to be taught to do that, because generally we don't. Generally we talk to the people we know. And we walk out and we don't. And, you know, sometimes it breaks my heart. I see somebody walk in and we're already into relationships. And this person walks in, walks around, turns around, walks out again. And nobody even noticed anything. We got to change this, Lord. There's more people we got to notice. We can't let anybody come in here and not get found, not get noticed. It's like your living room. If somebody strolled in, you take some notice of them and give them a cup of tea. It's great that in the early church there was no needy person. And I pray that this becomes part of us, that already I'm beginning to hear of these miracles happening here in this body where people are trying to help each other. People are beginning to financially help each other. And I'm so grateful because it's what the kingdom's about. Everybody is a part of a family. It's not people in church who have the platform position and the non-platform position. It's one family. And one family shares like your own family, or maybe you have a family like my natural family before I got married and to Dot. We didn't really share that much with each other. We kind of avoided each other quite a lot, I regret to have to say. So what a relief to meet the family of God, where I could really have a relationship with people and I could know each other. We could really share this journey together. This is what the early church did. They were close to the Lord Jesus and they understood. Nobody was excluded in the church. Nobody was kept out of this incredible relationship. Can you imagine the impact that this would make in any society in this nation? A group of people who truly live the New Testament, who live this kingdom lifestyle, where people care about each other, where people meet each other's needs, where people heal each other's bodies, where people have prophetic gifts, where people care about the lost, the broken, the smashed up, and they reach out to them and they include them. Could you imagine the impact this would begin to have? Could you imagine if the church became the place where people came because they had a need, and this is the kind of place where people care that they got a need? Wouldn't it be amazing that this is what happened? And this is why we have to form this relationship between ourselves here so that we can do this, because they're going to start coming and we have to get ready. And we have to get ready for what the Lord has promised us. Jesus, Paul, likened us in 1 Corinthians to a human body. And he said, you each are a part, but you're all different. You have one, some is a finger, some is a toe, some is a knee, some is a eye, whatever, all different parts. You need all those parts to get the job done for the body to function. You can't say, oh, well, I don't really need toes because they're sort of uninteresting and you never see them anywhere, so we'll do without toes, because you'll fall over if you don't have toes. Toes stop you falling forwards there, keep you upright. So you need all these things because they're given for that purpose. In the same way, everybody is needed in the body of Christ. Every single person is, when you're not there, you leave one toe missing, or you leave a finger missing, or you leave an aspect which is not here. And that aspect is so important to have included in the body. And so Paul says at the end of that scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, he says, but we have all, he says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up one whole body. So each one of you make up the whole body. He says, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. You know what I want to really give thanks for is the variety of people that there are in this church. Nationality-wise, different countries, there are men, women, age groups all over the, or for all across the spectrum. All that is the body. We have different educational levels. We have different job levels. We have different income levels. We have different gifting. And all that is really important because that makes up the body of Christ. Because if we can kind of get on, despite all that stuff, we're beginning to get somewhere. You know what else we have here? We have people that like kind of swirly worship and romantically getting into Jesus. And we've got people of the Word who like to proclaim the truth. And I like that we got both. I don't want to say we've only got to have one kind. We can't have all the kinds. It's nice that we got all the kinds because we need each other. We need the passion of the swirlies, and you need the Word. So we can't say only one kind is right and the other side's got to be quiet. It can't participate. So you see, we need each other. And we've got to be so careful that we don't get all prideful and say, only my kind is right. These guys are wrong. They've got to stop and become like me. Because then we've lost it. We've messed up if we start to try to control people and say, you've got to be like I am. Only I'm right. I'm on the right side, you're wrong. And then we spoil this brilliant thing called the body of Christ, which has been set up to be diverse and different and varied and full of color and full of strong word and faith, and all these things are important to have. But you can't say only my kind is right. If you want to be the word man, then you're the boring one. We don't need you here. You need me. You say, but I said, well, we don't need the swirlies. We need the swirlies. We need you to connect us in the passion zone as well. You know, it's all part of this deal. It's all part of it. And we've got to be so careful that we don't kind of say, only one kind is what we've got to have here. We've all been baptized into one body, and we all share the same Spirit. Whether we are the same. You see, relationship is not a matter of agreement. You know, if Dot and I could have only had a relationship if we were in agreement, we would never have lived together for 32 years. We disagree on lots of things, but that's all right. We still live together. We still choose to love each other. We still choose to share this journey. And so we'll be with all of us. Not everybody will agree with you. But if agreement is the basis on which relationships are established, then nobody can really have a relationship more than a few minutes, because somebody's going to disagree with you at any minute because they're going to get other revelation. And you say, oh, I don't think it's like that. Well, therefore, sorry, brother, we can't have anything more to do with each other because you don't see it the way I do. You think this? It happens in the body of Christ. It happens. So we've got to be very careful that we are the body of Christ, not the exclusives of Christ. Is this perhaps not time to move outside and let other people begin to experience what we have? Isn't it time for other people to begin to, hey, this is good? You know, we had this guy, Millie and Belle met this chap in a pub. It was about a month back, wasn't it? And they just decided he was totally not saved. I think he might have already have had a few drinks at this time they met him. And they invited him to church. And blow me down, he came. And you might remember he came in here. We didn't kind of retwig the meeting to make it a little more seeker-friendly and kind of sing different songs and not have such long worship and nobody spoke in tongues. We just didn't know. I didn't even know about it really too much. And he came, he went through the whole thing, he listened to everything that was going on, which was amazing. In fact, he listened more than some people that are coming here all the time, and, which was really astounding. And then he wrote me a text. I said to him at the end, I said, hey, why don't we hear? You know what's good? I just want to say, commend you, the men of this church. They kind of went and talked to him afterwards. They kind of hung out with him and just talked. Millie was brilliantly helpful, encouraging people to go and talk to this guy. And we all were talking to him, and he probably thought, man, this is a friendly place, and which is what it's meant to be. And so I said, hey, why don't we get a coffee sometime? He said, yeah, I love that. So I texted him. We swapped numbers. I texted him, and he texted me back, hi, Les, my week's been real busy. How's your week been? Yes, it was good to meet you too. I don't know at the moment when I have time to meet you for a coffee, but I would like to soon. I will come to church again. I found it really helpful when I went. I'll let you know in advance when I'm free so you'll be able to be free to meet me. I'll speak to you soon. Thanks. Take care from, and I'm not going to say his name. But, you know, he wasn't saying you're religious freaks, you're really odd, weird people. He didn't see any miracles here. He just saw friendly people. Guys, you've got a gift. It's called friendship. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. The ability to share your life with somebody is part of this deal. You share with people that are not like you, people are different from you, people are needy. You still share. You just share your life. And, you know, you've got this incredible ability to love because love's been put inside you. And so all you've got to do is just let that flow out. Just open the door and let it go out. And you begin to touch. Why should Million Bell not have invited him here? Why not indeed? Would you perhaps say, well, we don't really have meetings that are geared towards unbelievers? That's not the deal at all. It's our friendship that makes a difference to people. It's how much we bother talking to somebody. And you really just ask them about themselves and ask them what they do, what they do for a living. Turns out this guy works every Friday night, so he can't even come to meetings. He gets one off a month, so we're praying he's going to come back. But do you see what I mean? So I'm still in touch with him, and I will get that coffee with him sometime, and we'll kind of just establish a friendship. You know, you don't say, oh, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a healer, I'm not a great miracle worker. No. But you can be friendly. You can just be friendly. You know how you're friendly? You just take an interest in somebody other than yourself. And I'm not saying you're all interested in yourself. You just stop to decide, hang on, I'm just going to get to know you and chat to you, and I'll ask you some questions about yourself. And even if you don't ask me any about myself, that doesn't matter. I'm going to ask you about yourself, and I'm going to find out all about you. And they at the same time say, and I'll find out your name, and I'll use your name while I'm speaking to you, because it really helps people to relax when you use their name. So, oh, these are really friendly people in here. This is amazing. I want to come back there. Because, guys, can I tell you something? That's one very cold and friendly place outside there. It's full of people who don't care a hoot about anybody else. People who walk all over you, steal your money, steal your phone, you know, really abuse your kindness. But when they come in our patch, we can be really friendly. We've got to be known as the friendly church in London. You know, how ridiculous that I'm even saying this. I mean, what the heck do we think Jesus came to do? This is the tragedy. Jesus came to establish a church that relates to people, where people care about each other. People are friends with each other. People go and say, who don't I know in this room? Oh, you, I don't know you. I want to come and spend 5 minutes talking to you, find out who you are, what you're doing, how did you get here, where did you get saved? Because that is what the body of Christ is meant to be doing. Seriously, you know, you don't need to know a lot of theology to do this. You just got to do what the Spirit inside you wants to do. He wants you to talk to somebody. Now, I want to say tonight, if you're visiting, I really want you to know you should not leave here, at least with somebody swapping phone numbers with you. Somebody talking to you. And remember, the boys for the boys, the girls for the girls. So just get to know somebody. Get to know, if you're a girl, go find a girl that you've never met before. Hey, what you doing? What's your life about? Just talk. Boys, go talk to the boys. And just begin to share life. Oh, but they're different than me. I don't know if I could. Of course you could. Just look outside yourself and you can do it. It's so brilliant. This is what Jesus came to start. Isn't it? Wow. Wow, 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 wow. So, What do you see? You know, we talked a little while back about the widow of Zarephath, that the prophet Elijah, the Lord spoke to him and said, leave the Kereth ravine, where, because this was a strong drought, and go to this widow. I've already instructed her to feed you. So he turns up in this little town, and there's the little village, and there's this little widow lady, and she's collecting a few sticks, and he says, would you please get me a cup of water? And that's quite a precious commodity in a drought. So she says yes, and he says, oh, and when you go, would you also make me a small cake? I'm hungry. And she says, you know, she's not even a Jew. And she says, I don't know how she knew he was a religious man. She says, as surely as your God lives, I only have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I'm just collecting a few sticks to go home and make a fire and cook one last cake for my son and I to share. And then after that, we're going to die. So at that point, her whole vision was a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil and a tombstone beyond that. She didn't have a vision that went past that. And this man says to her, you won't die. Just go make me the cake. You'll see. He doesn't promise her that she'll have loads of food. He doesn't promise her that she'll or anything else. And this woman decides to trust the prophet of a religion she's not even part of. And she goes and makes him. And the scriptures say from that day, her flour never ran out, nor did her oil. And she was able to supply not only her needs, but his needs as well for the duration of the drought. The thing is, what are you looking at? Are you looking at a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil? Or do you see a bunch of people that are ready to begin to make an impact for the glory of Jesus in London? Do you see a little venue sparsely filled? Or do you see a venue full of young people because God said so? God said, I want to send you a youth revival. Get ready. Can you see it? Because if you can, that's what it's going to take. Remember I said in the beginning, Jesus said, whatever you believe, you will receive. So if you want to believe for, well, we'll just carry on this little church and we'll just, there's not many blokes about and, oh, there's not many people here tonight either and there's this old Les there and Dot and, you know, and we didn't have any drums tonight, and it's going to just get worse and worse. Or do you believe for a full music group up here, teams of musicians, great singers, great sound? Do you have dared to believe for a children's ministry which is so exciting that the children fight their parents to get here to church? And say, we got to go. We can't miss church. It's such fun. There's so much faith. I'm learning so much about Jesus. I don't want to miss out on church. Please, Mom and Dad, take me to church tonight. Do you not think that's possible? All it takes is somebody to say, that's my vision. I'm going to do that. I've got a vision to do. I can teach. I'm either a teacher or I like kids. I want to do this. Now, how many kids you got? I would love to see you turn up here early, having met in the week, prepared, turn up with face paint, makeup, a costume on, and you meet the kids at the door. And at this stage, it might be Karis, and it might be Antonio and Liz's little ones. And you say, welcome, come through, see what I've got here for you. And in there are balloons, and in there are exciting things. And you prepare a teaching, and you prepare some music, and you prepare some fun. And they say, whoa, isn't that awesome? And they get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. They start prophesying. You bring them in here, they start prophesying over us. Or do you say, we've only got a few kids in a little room, we're not going to really do much about that. What do you see? What do you believe you will receive? Wouldn't it be nice to walk in the door and somebody in a t-shirt meets you to say, hi or whatever, how can I help you? And says, hey, I'm glad you came. Welcome. Hey, I see you've got kids. Just come here, I want to show you where the kids go. Look at this. Meet these people. They're the ones who look after the kids. They're all set, ready, it's safe, they're there. They're all CRB cleared. So you're safe. And by the way, the loser there and there, come and get a coffee over here. How do you think you'd feel as a visitor walking into that? Hey, just think about it. How would it be to be seated here and to see an explosion going up there of music and sound and faith and the glory of God being released over the place? People are getting up and prophesying, having words of knowledge. Jesus is about to do this in your life. And people say, I've just been healed. Oh my goodness me. I didn't have a leg. Now I've got two. And hey, listen, this is what the church is meant to be. It's not something weird from the space I'm talking about. This is us. How about if some of you have been out on the street doing some really foxy things out there, healing some people, and you arrive, you say, hey, I brought all my friends with me. Meet these guys. There are five of them. They've just come. They want to meet more people who belong to Jesus. And they come in here and they get saved and they get filled with the Spirit and they get into the teaching and they get into understanding and they're growing and they begin to release their gifting and they begin to flow and go out with you and fetch some others and bring them in. Hey, it's not impossible. That's the church that Jesus came to establish. Behind all of this, dot and a whole bunch of people of faith are fueling in prayer day and night, pouring out their hearts and releasing the more of the Spirit in faith and fire just working amongst us. You think that's impossible? What are you looking at? The little bit of flour and the little bit of oil? Or what are you believing for? Because you will receive, according to Jesus, whatever you believe. Now, that's the corporate picture. What do you need for your life? Have you accepted that you'll always have certain physical disabilities and ailments because that's just the way it is? Or could Jesus say something different about that? You know, sometimes we think, well, if only I could see Benny Hinn and he could put his hand on me, I'd get healed. You know, most of the people Jesus healed, he said, your faith has made you well. Just what you believed made you well. Guys, I believe it's time for us to get angry with these darn diseases that are wrecking our bodies. It's time for us to say, enough, enough. I'm not meant to accept all this lot. Jesus paid the price for this. This is not mine. This is some jolly invader. And I've given him space to be here. Because I'm not fighting him. I'm not resisting him. I'm saying, it's okay for you to dwell here. Because I've always been like this. And I'm always liked it to be like this. Or are you daring to say, come on, Jesus paid the price that I wouldn't have to suffer this. Your need for a job. Your need for financial provision. Your need for a home somewhere. Your needs were met by Jesus Christ on the cross. He says, through his word, that I will make all grace abound to you, so that at all times, having all that you need, you will scrape the bottom of the barrel. Shout me down, somebody. He says, you will abound in every good work. Guys, it's time to believe. It's seriously time to believe, because we can either go through life thinking, well, that's just the way it is. You know, not many people came tonight because Joshua Mills was on. And, you know, we didn't have a drummer, and Claire's voice, throat was sore, and Mikey's was bad. Let's just lie down and die. Oh, no way, Jose. This is not what Jesus intended when he said, it is finished. It is finished. What I believe, I will receive. Healing, provision, job, accommodation, deliverance of these jolly issues that I've been fighting for years. Get rid of them now, because Jesus says, what you believe, you receive. Guys, Why don't we just dare to trust him? Just dare. You know, Peter had to do one crazy thing. He had to make a decision to grab hold of the edge of a boat, tossing up and down on the Sea of Galilee, and swing his one leg over and put it on top of the water and bring his other leg over and start walking towards Jesus. And if we don't get out the boat, we'll stay in our boat for the rest of our lives and never see the great adventures that God has destined you for. You are destined to be an influencer of people. God called you to influence this world, not to be influenced by this world. You don't adjust to the world. The world adjusts to you. You are here to influence this nation. God's got no one else to do it other than the believers. And too many of us are stuck in the boat. Where it's safe, at least ish. Not too safe, but safer than getting out there. I don't want to live in a boat. I want to know that I tried walking on the water. Even if I sank, it's still worth trying. Because Jesus loves me to believe him. And that's when I receive what he has promised. Father, tonight, we make a decision. We make a decision to stop being the victims and start being the victors. We make a decision to stop lamenting our problems and our woes and start saying, Lord, I don't need sympathy, I just need to believe. I don't need somebody to say, I'm so sorry you're not well. I just need somebody to say, get up and take all of your healing, man. Because it belongs to you. And Lord, I'd rather somebody told me that than somebody gave me sympathy. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to so stir in our hearts from this night on that we will be restless until we start walking in all the promises that Jesus has made. Lord, it's an insult to him and what he did for us to accept anything less. And my cry tonight, if you have put gifts in all of those people in this room, then I ask you to activate those gifts tonight. I ask you to activate them from this day forward. That people in this place will begin to reach out of their comfort zone into the risk place. Because it's in the risk place that faith gets demonstrated and faith is rewarded there. And I ask you for that, Father. I ask you in Jesus' name for an end to mediocrity and a start of radically believing Jesus Christ. Radically living according to the promises that God has made and refusing to accept anything less than Jesus has said. And Lord, we want to give up feeling. We want to start living on knowing. Because it's knowing that sets us free. And I ask you tonight to begin a season of impartation of great faith and great understanding and great power and great risk-taking in this place for the glory of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, so much. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got an issue in your body, in your life, finances, accommodation, job, whatever it is, why don't you choose to do something about it tonight? No, you don't have to come up here. You don't even have to put your hand up. You just have to believe. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to lift up to him the very issues that you struggle with. That you are sick to death of having to struggle and battle and never see the victory. And I'm asking you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ to lift them up to him, knowing when he died on the cross, it was for the full freedom that Christ had intended for you and I to live in. Right now, see your healing need being met in Christ. Just look into the eyes of Jesus hanging on that cross saying, I'm paying, my blood is paying the price right now for your healing. Just see Jesus providing your needs, jobs, better jobs, financial provision, miracles in finances that can't be solved in the natural. Just dare to believe tonight. Now look into the eyes of Jesus again. Look into his face. And he's saying to you, child of mine, I did this for you. I did this so that you wouldn't have to take this punishment. I ask you tonight, Father, to meet us at our point of need, but also at our point of faith, and release healing, release provision, release deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just together, we stand in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we take authority over every spirit of unbelief, every disease, every financial lack, every spirit of unbelief. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bind your activity over this body now in Jesus' name. And we release the spirit of faith over your life tonight. Faith to move mountains. Faith to get healed. Faith to get set free. Faith to see provision. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. Nobody's being judged tonight. Everybody's being challenged to rise up in much greater faith than they've ever had before. There's no condemnation here. Not in my heart, not in anybody, not, certainly not in God's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Darling, could you help? Do you know, this simple meal is our declaration of faith. That's what it is. When we eat this, we're saying, I believe you. That's why I'm eating it. I believe you. I believe that when I eat this bread, I am exercising faith that your body, which was broken for me, will bring healing, provision, deliverance, and freedom to my life. When I drink this cup, I am believing that your blood has purified me from all unrighteousness, and I am not guilty if I am in Christ Jesus. There is no guilt. There's nothing the enemy can load on you, because all that was dealt with in the blood of Jesus. That's all that cup is there to do, is to remind you, you are free. You are free. And nobody, let nobody squeeze you back into a place where you think you are guilty again. In Jesus' name.